Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Northern Ireland is braced for further unrest today, with Queen's University in Belfast closing to ensure staff and students travelling to and from campus weren't put at risk, it says. The PSNI says it is aware of planned protest activity throughout Northern Ireland today and will have significant policing operation in place. Niamh Campbell is a journalist with the Belfast Telegraph. She's on the line now. Niamh, can you tell us what's closed, what's open?
So at the minute, so Queen's University is set to close its campus today, and in a statement, its president and vice chancellor said that the university will be closed just as a precautionary measure to ensure staff and students travelling to the campus are not put at any risk. And then there was also a direct appeal made to young people advising them not to take part in any disorder or violence because they could be putting their future careers at risk. There were some social media rumours. The PSNI confirmed that it was misinformation circulating on social media regarding advice to employers. So far, there's no significant city centre employers publicly stating they're closing their businesses. Public transport is going as normal. There's no railway or bus services affected, but our public transport provider, TransLink, said that throughout the day they would be working and they'll be updating people along with the PSNI guidelines if anything does happen. The fake guidance that had been going around and WhatsApp groups and the likes of that had been encouraging those travelling to work in protest areas to contact a non-emergency telephone number. So it just shows there's so many different factions to this.
What happened when you rang the number, Niamh?
Oh, I did not try to ring the number. I believe it was a scam. But maybe to try to get money from people. In actually very recent minutes, we actually found out as well, though, a sushi and Japanese restaurant in the Donegal Pass, which is where a lot of the violence has been happening over the last week. They've shared to social media that they've been advised by the PSNI to close today and they'll reopen again tomorrow. So we're probably going to get through the different ethnic restaurants and businesses owned by immigrants. We'll probably pepper throughout the day. We'll find out more information whether the PSNI have advised those places to close, especially in those areas where there has been heightened riots and violence over the last week.
What can you tell us about the scale of the PSNI operation?
Well, the PSNI had asked mutual aid workers, they're called, across the UK. They had asked them for some assistance. Now, we're not actually sure how many of those officers have come over to help. There is a centre across the UK that is dedicated to providing officers throughout all four parts of the UK for large-scale operations such as this. It is quite large. The PSNI, there have been increased presence in different areas over the last few nights. Last night actually marked the fifth night of disorder across Belfast. So this has been going on since Saturday. And there was another series of race-related hate crimes, reports of criminal damage to lots of property, including a car being set on fire, and another plenty of windows of houses have been broken, mainly in parts of East and South Belfast, not so much the city centre. So I think the PSNI, there are other businesses in the city centre as well that are leaving it up to their staff and their staff and workers to see if they want to make their own decisions, if they can work from home. I think they're sort of advising them to work from home if they can.
There is a particular, as you say, ethnic flavour to who the violence is being directed at, particularly towards Muslims. There's obviously a Northern Ireland Muslim Council. Have they been saying anything?
Yeah, so they had come out the other day and said that they're aware of this false and dangerous narrative. And a lot of this, it surrounds fake news and misinformation. And they were saying that this misinformation on social media is alleging that there are Muslim gangs in the streets of Belfast. And it is entirely false. And they were saying that it's a blatant falsehood. The people were armed. And they also said that the Muslims constitute a small minority in Northern Ireland. And these false narratives have seen several individuals targeted and their properties vandalised. And it is true. I mean, I was talking to a 29-year-old father yesterday from Syria who he actually wants to go back to Syria, which is completely war-torn and is just insane. He and his wife are afraid. Their children are only 8 and 5 years old and they'll be starting school at the end of this month. And they're afraid that their kids are going to get bullied because they're Muslim. And, you know, he said their window was smashed through in their ground floor property at 1 o'clock in the morning. When I was speaking to him in his home, his children were trying to get some sleep. And he said, you know, the police had said to him, well, if you have any friends, we advise that you stay with friends. We have no friends here. You know, we've been here 3 years, but they don't have family. They fled a war-torn country. He said, at least if we go back to Syria, yes, it's full of conflict, but at least our friends, some of our friends and family might be there. People have been advised as well, if they have money, to go and stay in hotels. That's not always an option when your window's put through at 1 o'clock in the morning, to just get your whole family up and all your belongings and go and stay in hotels. So a lot of people have been looking to go home, and it's been having knock-on effects as well, because there's one young woman who is from Northern Ireland, and she was in the middle of trying to find a new rental property with her housemate, who is an immigrant. But now her housemate is saying, I'm not staying here anymore. I'm going to have to leave because of the racist attacks, I'm afraid. So now, not only is she feeling scared that she has to leave the country, her housemate is now basically says she's going to be homeless in 3 weeks, because she now has to find somewhere to stay on her own, and she can't afford it. So it's a housing crisis really as well. It's having such a domino effect.
Niamh Campbell with the Belfast Telegraph, thank you very much. I'm also joined by the SDLP leader in Stormont and the MLA for South Belfast, Matthew O'Toole. Matthew, leaving Belfast to head back to Syria, this really is a stain on Northern Ireland's reputation.
It certainly is disastrous if we've created a situation, or far-right thugs have been allowed to create a situation where people who are in Northern Ireland contributing to our society, either here because of conflict and have sought refuge on our shores, or here because they have chosen to pursue a career here and contribute to society for whatever reason, people of colour, particularly people from a Muslim background, are feeling under immense pressure and very scared at the minute. But I think we are trying and making a substantial political effort to face down the hate mongers. It's clear that this is a cross-border, transnational, international problem. The far right is seeking to create division in lots of societies. We need to face it down, but it is a really, really challenging time for the city of Belfast and our region.
You don't sit in the executive now, or your party doesn't, but you did for a long time. And Northern Ireland, rather pointedly, is the only part of the United Kingdom that doesn't have a migrant and refugee integration policy. Do you accept some share of the blame for that failure?
I think the entire political class here has to accept responsibility for, specifically in relation to a refugee strategy, the absence of one. Also, we have a very outdated racial equality strategy here. We also don't have up-to-date and properly focused hate crime, standalone hate crime legislation, which penalises the kind of hate crime and violence that we've seen in recent days in Belfast. I think the people who are in the executive, I welcome the fact that there was broad consensus and a relatively united front yesterday standing against hatred and violence and against the marginalisation and intimidation of the Muslim community in our society. But we need to see that followed up with specific actions at a political level. Mm. We do need to see the refugee integration strategy, which you talked about, and the other policies I talked about, racial equality strategy, hate crime legislation. Those are political, legal things that the executive can achieve and collectively has not achieved for many years now, because the blunt truth is, in many ways, because our society, we have this big historic division, which is obviously relates to the long-standing divisions on our island. We have this big historic division, and our politics is geared around, in a sense, managing that division and that difference. It has at times, I think, left our political class blind and not created enough of an incentive to acknowledge, celebrate and defend the diversity which is now part of our society, as it is in other parts of Ireland and, of course, other parts of the UK. I think it's high time for us as a political system in the North to properly get in place policies that defend and protect newcomers, people from the Muslim, and people who in many cases have been here for a very long time, right? People of colour, Muslim community specifically at the minute. That has been a collective long-term failure. And frankly, people from those communities are fed up with it, and they are right to be fed up, because we've seen the consequences in the last week or two.
Leader of the Opposition in Stormont, Matthew O'Toole, thank you very much. Coming up after the break, what would a Trump presidency do to the Irish economy?
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.